All right, open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Ingenuity. Hebrews chapter 11 for the message this morning. All right, I'm going to give you a picture this morning, so you're going to have to think a little bit, and hopefully you won't have to think too much, but I'm going to give you a little picture this morning. Karen asked me yesterday afternoon what I was preaching on, and I said, why? She said, I'm interpreting, and I said, this is a picture, and pictures are hard to interpret, and so she made me stop last night and get the message so she could go over it. So so you guys will have no problems this morning with this message, okay? No problems whatsoever. She's got it down, and she'll just do exactly as she's supposed to do. She's going to be a good little interpreter this morning for you. But everybody's got to think a little bit in order to see the picture that I want to show you. All right, we begin reading in verse 8. And of course, Hebrews 11 is the Hebrew Hall of Fame. All right, it's the Hebrew Hall of Fame. It's all of the Old Testament saints that lived by faith. And the point is that the just shall live by faith. The point is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The point is that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. So we're to have faith in God, and that's what this chapter is all about. It is showing us what faith is, and then showing us all the examples of the Old Testament men and women that lived their lives and pleased God and did the will of God through exercising faith in God. All right, now in verse 8, we have the example of Abraham. And I want to use what God says about Abraham here and show you some things this morning I trust will be a blessing. All right, let's begin reading, and it's real important that you listen very carefully to what God says here in His Word. Beginning in verse 8, by faith, Abraham. So this, what he's about to tell us is Abraham's faith. By faith, Abraham. Now, what did he do that pleased God by faith? Well, read on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now, that's the key. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He was called by God. You remember the story. He lived up along the Euphrates River in this town, this city called Ur. It was a Chaldean city, pre-Babylonian days, the Chaldeans. And God spoke to his heart and said that he was to get up. He told him in Genesis 12, get up and get out, and I will show thee a land. And all that you see in that land, I'm going to give to you and to your inheritance. And God told Abraham to walk the length and breadth of that land. And every place he saw, the promise was God was going to give it to him and to his seed. All right, so think about that for a moment. God says to Abraham, who was living in a house in Ur, in a city, and he said, get up and go down and walk the length and breadth of that land. He said, where am I going, Lord? And he said, don't worry, I'll show you when you get there. That took faith, folks. Yes. That took faith. Now, you just stop and think about it. Would you have been willing to do that? But Abraham did. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now watch the next part. By faith, he sojourned. That means he just traveled around. He didn't settle anywhere. He just wandered. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Now, what's a tabernacle? That's a tent. He lived in a tent. Would you think about that, folks? Now, come on. He's living in Ur, in a house, in a city. He's got the masses to for protection. He's got the walls of the city of Ur as protection. God says, get out of that town and come down here, walk around this land, and all this land you see I'm going to give to you and your family. So he goes down there, lives in a tent, and wanders all around that area for the rest of his life. That's what it means. Dwelling in tents, in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now here, look at, why would he do that? What was his motivation? Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Why did he do that? He was looking for a city. He was looking for a city. Now let me stop right here. Everybody think now, look at me. He never found that city here. He looked all his life for that city, and he never found it here. You say, well, preacher, where did he find it? Well, once he closed his eyes in death, that's when he found the city. Now, I want you to think with me this morning, and I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, The Tent and the City. The Tent and the City. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and I pray your blessings upon us now. I pray you'll help me as I speak, and Lord, just help me to say what I need to say so that this picture can be clearly seen and that it will stir our hearts and open our eyes to understand why we're here. Lord, help us to see the truth of your Word clearly this morning. And as we see it, I pray that we will yield ourselves to you and, Lord, that we will seek to do your will for our lives and to live for Jesus. And, Lord, just speak to every heart, we pray. Thank you for each person here. Now bless us richly. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. All right, here in the Hebrew Hall of Fame, we find Abraham as one of the main characters. His life was so preeminently one of faith in God that in this roll call of the faithful, he certainly had to be listed and listed with some degree of importance. There have been men who in some great hour of life or death have risen to great heights of faith. And others whose faith has been most notable, even though in the times in which they lived, they were quiet days and uneventful days. But the faith of Abraham did not fail nor falter, regardless of what his situation was. He was faithful, for example, in a day of great testing. You might remember when he was called upon by God to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac, the son of promise, on the altar at Mount Moriah. And even in that strain and in that pressure, his faith did not falter, not one bit. He did what God asked him to do. But he was also faithful to God, even in those days when he was simply sojourning in the land. When he was just wandering around, dwelling in tents, making a living the best he could, and providing for his family the best he could. And that is what makes the faith of Abraham so unique. You know, anybody can live for God when things are going well. But when the trials come, when the heartaches come, when the difficulties come, well, that's when our faith gets put to the test. And Abraham is in this Hebrew Hall of Fame simply because no matter when you read about his life, the man is exercising faith in God. Now, I want you to notice that Abraham was described here in the ninth verse as a man who dwelt in tabernacles, in tents. Now, what's that mean? That means that when he was in that the land, sojourning, traveling, going from the north to the south to the east to the west, when he was in the land, he lived in a tent. He was dwelling in a tent. He was he did not have a home that he built. He simply lived in the tent. Now, you remember that God called him out of the land of the Chaldeans, sent him to the land of Canaan, and he journeyed in that land for the rest of his life. He was a pilgrim on a journey. He was a stranger in a foreign land, and as he wandered in the day, each evening he stopped and set up his tent as a shelter for he and his family to dwell in. When the morning came, the tent went down, and they continued on their journey. And Abraham spent the rest of his life in the land of Canaan looking for a city that he never found on this earth. But that did not dissuade him from doing what God told him to do, journey and look for the city. Now, notice that the writer of Hebrews tells us about the tents and then tells us the secret of Abraham's ability to endure tent life. You say, Pastor, what was that? Well, his ability to do what God asked him to do is found in the 10th verse. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. So we see the tent and the city. And that's what I want to focus on with you this morning. Folks, you will have to admit these two ideas are quite opposite of each other. What thought does that sharp antithesis suggest to you? Here is a man dwelling in tents, living the life of a Bedouin, never staying in one place very long at all, going this way and then going that way. But the whole time that he is living his life as a wandering pilgrim, he is looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, the tent and the city. Let me give you two thoughts this morning, and I want to make the statements, both of them. I'll make the first one here in just a second, but I want to make the statements. I want you to let it sink in what I'm saying, then I'll explain to you the point. Point number one, you ready for it? Here it is. It is the tent which makes the city so precious. It is the tent which makes the city so precious. Folks, I want you to think about how difficult it would have been to live the way Abraham lived his life. I want you just to consider that. Living in a tent and wandering around that land would have been a most difficult way to exist. I can't imagine it, to be honest with you. I just cannot imagine living life that way. Just think of the insecurity of it. Just think of the peril of it. You set it up in the evening, and then the next morning, you have to take it down and pack it up so that you can continue on your way. And day in and day out, Abraham lives his life this way. Don't you think after a couple of months that Sarah would have come to him and said, "Now look, Abraham, this is getting old. Can't you find a spot where we can settle down? Can't you find a place where we can put some roots down, this driving the stakes in the ground and then pulling them back up the next morning is getting a little old. I'm tired of packing all this stuff and then unpacking all this stuff and then repacking all this stuff. And we need a place where we can call home instead of this wandering around stuff that we're doing." I'm sure that somewhere along the journey, he heard a speech something similar to that, don't you? Oh, I can just imagine that had to have come up. But folks, what you and I need to realize is that Abraham's story is in the Bible, and his whole life story, his whole life picture, it's showing us something. It is a picture for you and for me as to what the Christian life is all about. Folks, we're here on a journey. Don't drive your tent stakes down too deep here in this life. You're not going to be here forever. This world is just temporary. This is just a journeying place for you and me. No, we as believers, we are looking for a city. And it's not a city that was built by man. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Our hopes and our aspirations are not for here. They're for what lies beyond here. Heaven is where we're looking forward to. All right? So I want you to realize that the tent and the tent life is what makes the city and what is going to be city life for us when we get to the New Jerusalem. It is what makes the city so precious. Would not that have made the dream, that wandering around, the boredom of that, trouble that is connected with that, the insecurity of that wandering life, would not that have made the dream of a city so infinitely sweet? So folks, I submit to you that had Abraham spent all his days in Canaan inside the strong, safe, and secure walls of a city, he would never have known the power of that calling that God gave to him. For as long as men have been on the planet, folks, men have found security in numbers. That's why there's always the draw of the city. Seeing others crowding through the streets gives you a sense of security. The sharing in that security of numbers, being able to go to a marketplace and find plenty of food, or be able to go to a well that others have dug and draw water. I mean, why would anyone want to leave that security? But Abraham didn't have the city. He spent his whole life looking for the city. Do you see the point? Folks, it's a picture of you and me. We are here. We are looking for a city, but you're not going to find it here. No, you're going to find it when you finally one day get to glory. Right now, our job is to sojourn. Right now, our job is to live for the Lord, to have faith in the Lord, to obey the Lord, and do what God wants us to do, as we read it in the book, just like Abraham did. By faith, by faith. But Abraham didn't have the city. He spent his life looking for the city. He had the tent. He had to lay down each night and hope that the winds did not blow it down. He had to worry if the rain would soak it during the night and cause it to collapse. He had to worry about the wild animals coming around and getting into his supplies. It was in such conditions, perilous, lonely, comfortless, when men would begin to dream about life in the city. And that is the meaning of God's treatment of Abraham. That is why God housed him in a tent. It was not to harden him. It was not to crush him. No, it was to waken him to the value of that of the ideal. It was to get him to realize the reason that we're here. Folks, it took the tent, so fragile, so unstable, so shaky, so easily blown down, to make God's promise and prospect of a city such a precious thing to Abraham. And you know, I think there's a lesson here for each of us. As God dealt with Abraham, I think God deals with us in the same light. Let me ask you, folks, do you see your life as tent days? Do you see your life as tent days? Do you remember those days when you lived under hardship? I tell you, when Karen and I first got married, we didn't have two dimes to rub together. Many a morning, we took our bills and laid them on the table and took them out of the envelopes and laid them down. We put the utility bill there, and we put the rent bill there, and we took the car payment and the insurance, and we laid them on the table and asked God to meet the needs. And then at 9 o'clock, the post lady would run, and she had a little gremlin car that you could hear coming for 10 miles, and she would pull that car up to the mailbox and throw the mail in, and I'd run down the hill, and I can't tell you how many times, but I can assure you more times than I can remember, I would run down the hill, get that mail, run up, and every single time open those envelopes and lay down a check over top of that bill that we had, and most of the time God gave us about $5 left over so we could buy a $5 pizza from the little pizza shop down in town. Amen. Oh, I remember the tent days. I mean, you didn't have a thing, and you struggled with each day. Life was a grind, and everything was difficult, but you labored on, didn't you? You labored on, and now somehow or another, you seem to have gotten by. Those days of dwelling in the tent, though, were hard, and they were full of trials. You see, folks, the important thing is not what we live in. The supremely important thing is what we are looking for. You see, there's a difference in that. It is not my actual achievement which is the most important thing. It is the purpose. It is the aim. It is the direction that I am headed in with my life. I'm saying, folks, that we often find ourselves in the tent so we can later appreciate the city once we get to it. God sometimes allows us to dwell in tents with its hardships, simply so we begin to hunger for the city with all of its securities and comforts. You know, I've had people say to me ever since I've been in the ministry, and I never really understood it until just the last few years, but I've had people say to me, "Oh, Pastor, I am just so looking forward to getting to heaven. I am just so looking forward to this struggle of life being over." And when people would say that to me when I was younger, I would think, "Not me, buddy. Not me. I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet." But I'm starting to get a little understanding of that, you know. I've kind of had a few tent experiences here in the last few years, and I'm kind of getting a little understanding that, hey, this life is not all there is. Golden years? Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to smack that guy if he's in heaven before I get my glorified body. I'm gonna clock him one for coming up with that term. Golden years? Where'd that come from? Man, it's trial years, isn't it? I mean, you wake up every morning and something new hurts. Yeah. And you see, but wait a minute. This life is not all there is. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Folks, I'm glad that this is not all there is. I'm glad that the day is coming when I am going to get to go to heaven, and I'm going to be in a place where there is no sin, and there is no night, and there is no cold, and there is no hot. It's a perfect place that God has prepared for us. Now, I want you to think of this principle and think of sickness in the light of this principle. You know, it's not often let me rephrase it. It's often that the tent makes the city so precious. If you have your health, let me just say this in passing. If you have your health, you should thank God 1,000 times a day that you have your health. Because sooner or later, even the strongest of people will be sent out like Abraham into a lonely tent. They will wake up in the night and feel that insecurity. They will lay there and wonder if the next blast will knock our tent completely down. I mean, and leave us in ruins. So think of this picture and think of sickness in this light. Then think of this picture in the matter of death. You know, there is nothing as cruel as death. It fills the heart with emptiness and loneliness, far greater than dwelling out in the middle of nowhere alone in a tent. Yet how many folks have been in the tents of struggling with the awful shadow of death, but there have found their way to the city because death has a way of getting us to think of our own mortality and causes our minds to think on heaven because of our own bereavement. I've been criticized ever since I started in the ministry because the very first time I had a funeral, which was a long time ago, but the very first funeral I had, I never even blinked on it. I just thought, you know, this, here's an opportunity. And I went in and I talked about the deceased and told them what I knew about her and what a fine lady she was as far as I knew. This lady's name was Sadie something. She was 92 years old, I think, when she died. And I had her funeral, first funeral I ever did. And the church was full, and I looked out and saw all these folks, and I realized, wow, got to be somebody here unsaved. So I talked about her for a while, and then just got over on the gospel and gave the gospel and gave an invitation. The funeral home directors were all standing in the back going, are you supposed to do this at a funeral? And one of them came up to me afterwards and said, I've never seen that before. And I said, you've never seen what? Well, I've never seen anybody preach the gospel and give an invitation at a funeral. I said, well, that's a crying shame right there. You see, when we've lost a loved one, all of a sudden we start realizing, wait a minute, I'm not going to live forever either. All of a sudden we start thinking about, where did my loved one go? Where am I going to go when I die? Because I'm going to die too. The question is, folks, have you lived your life looking for the city? The question is, have you lived your life sojourning for the Lord, doing what God has asked you to do? You're never going to find the city unless you find the tent first. All right? And so, through the veil of death, a loved one, or the death of a loved one, we are often able to see just how self-centered and or how selfish or just how blind we have been to the things that really matter in this world. Folks, it is in the tent then that that has made the city so precious. It's in the frailty, the insecurity, the loneliness that often turns men's hearts to the abiding things that really matter. Then secondly, I said, first of all, that it is the tent which makes the city so precious. But then secondly, it is the city which explains the tent. Now think about that for a moment. We could never have understood the life, the person, the man, Abraham, and never really appreciated how he handled things in his life had not the Holy Spirit told us what he did in verse 10 of the hope that was in his heart. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Now, folks, think of this. Think of this. Again, he never found it here. In life, he never found it, but he spent his whole life looking for it. You with me on that? Now, you think about this, folks. The Bible tells us Abraham was a wealthy man. God had blessed Abraham, and he was a wealthy man. I mean, there was absolutely nothing that prevented him from building himself and his family a really nice home anywhere in the land of Canaan. He could have said, all right, Sarah, we're going to stop. Number one, it'll shut you up. And I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you the biggest house that you've ever seen. And he could have done that, but he didn't do it. He had the means to do it. And really, that would have been the natural thing for him to do. I mean, think about it. That's what you and I've done. That's exactly what we have done. And he could have built a nice house. He could have built a palace if he wanted to. He could have fortified it and could have lived his life like a king and Sarah like a queen. And no one would have faulted him for doing that. After all, he had grown up in the land of the Chaldeans, and their rich often had huge palaces and towers and gates around and walls around their homes. And he had seen the wealthy build their houses like huge fortresses. And he could have done the same thing had he wanted to. Yet, when the day came that he could do that, he chose not to do that. Instead, he chose to live in a tent. And you and I will never understand that tent and never know why Abraham chose it until we understand the secret of Abraham's heart. To see why he chose to dwell his whole life in a tent, you must look at his heart. You must. You see, others might choose to stay in tents because of laziness. Right? I mean, some guy's wife may come and say, are we going to live in this tent all our lives? Yes, we are. You got plenty of money. Go build a house. I don't want to. Truth is, he's too lazy. Others may choose to live in the tent because they just got Bedouin blood in them, and the thought of staying in one spot, they just can't handle that. And his wife will come to him. Are we ever going to build a house? No, we're Bedouins. We travel. That's what we do. Live with it. Others may decide to stay in the tent because, well, you know, they just too tight. They just don't want to spend the money. And there's, his wife comes to him. Are you ever going to build me a house? No, why not? I don't want to spend this money I've made. So we're just going to stay in the tent. But none of these explain Abraham and why he chose to stay in the tent. You say, well, Pastor, why did he choose to stay in the tent? I'll tell you why. It was Abraham's vision that explains why he chose to dwell in the tent. It was his vision of God. Abraham was no doubt in his sojourning coming across a lot of cities. But all of these were built by the hands of men. I'm sure that every time they went into a new city, Sarah said, well, what do you think about this one? And Abraham said, no, this one's built by man. I'm supposed to be looking for the one built by God. So they just kept going. They just kept going. I mean, no doubt. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Listen, folks, here's the bottom line. Here it is. Listen now. It makes all the difference in the world what you and I are looking for in life this morning. What are you looking at? Where's your vision? It is by what our hearts are set on and by what our thoughts are given to that determines the tent, whether the tent we live in and dwell in is blessed or cursed. A man can live in a huge, beautiful mansion and yet be as miserable as it is possible for a man to be. Money doesn't buy happiness. Things don't buy happiness. What buys happiness? I'll tell you what buys happiness. The blood of Jesus Christ. And a man trusting in that precious blood that gets us rightly related to the God that made us. That's what brings happiness. And yet a man can be as poor as anything. And that man can be happy. If he looks for a city where the love and grace of God Almighty is found. And you see, folks, that is the happiness, the secret of Abraham's happiness. That's the secret of his peace. That will make a tent become a temple. He looked for a city. He never found it here, but the day finally came when, old and tired from the search, when his worn out body could go no more, and it was then when he closed his eyes in death that Abraham finally found what he was looking for. But you see, it was the search that made Abraham the man of faith that he was. And now, all these years later, we are still talking about Abraham, and God even put his story in the Bible as a man of great faith, the friend of God. And what was it that kept him going? It was the hope of one day finding the city of God. And folks, eventually he found it. I talk to folks all the time and they'll say, you know, Pastor, I'm just so tired. Yeah, that's called life. That's called searching. That's called looking for the city. That's called wandering. That's the journey. A journey will make you tired. It will wear you out. But thank God, one of these days we're going to find the city. You know, there's a lesson here, folks. I wish that we would realize that we aren't going to find the city here. And you know, some folks just, they just won't learn that lesson. I wish we would learn that we're not going to find the city here. So many people live every waking moment for the nasty now and now, and they never stop 1 minute to think about the sweet by and by. Don't get your tent stakes down too deep here, folks. Set your affections on things above, the Apostle Paul said. We're so consumed with us. We are so consumed with me and mine. Multitudes of folks spend every minute of every day just striving for fame, for recognition, for attention, for, look at me, cool. I mean, they just live for somebody to say, oh man, he is so cool. Folks, there is more to life than cool. Life is a sojourn. Life is just that moment in time that God gives you to live pleasing to him. And we're just so consumed with the nasty now and now. And all we want to do is just get out of the tent. That's what we think. I just got to get out of the tent. If I can just get out of the tent so I can dwell in the city with its lights and its fun and its excitement, and sadly in many cases with its sin and with its death. Folks, I'm saying that the city explains the tent. Hey, this is not all there is, folks. I've told you before, over and over and over, I've read the back of the book. We win. We come out on top. And you ought to go over there and read about that city that God is going to let us live in for all eternity. You ought to go over and read about it. And what you want to notice when you get over there and read about it is there's no darkness. There's no sin. There's no Satan. There's no temptation. There's no death. There's no cancer. There's no arthritis. There's no broken heart. You see, all that's for now. All that is for now because of sin. But when we get over on the other side, you're going to get over on the other side and say, "Woo! I found the city. Hallelujah." But you spend life looking for the city. Where do you find it? Same place Abraham found it. By faith. You say, well, Pastor, where does faith come from? Very simple. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right there's where you get your faith. Oh, you need to be in the Bible every day. You need to read your Bible every day. I tell you something else you need to do. You need to be in church. Amen. Where's my amen button? I'm gonna wire all the seats. I'm gonna put a little control right here, and where I think you should say amen, I'm gonna hit that button, and you're all gonna go amen. Yeah. Be in church. Why? So you can grow and learn the Word of God. Folks, when you come in here, I'm not going to say open your World Book Encyclopedia. When you come in here, you're never going to hear me say open your Carroll County Times. You will never hear me say open up your Reader's Digest. Oh no, the Bible. And we're going to learn something about the Bible. And that thing you learn helps you live for God. That's why you need to be in God's house. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, Dr. Robertson used to say all the time, three to thrive, three to thrive, three to thrive. And oh, that's so true. Don't get tied down here. Everybody says, I'm too busy to come to church. Then you're too busy. You need to let some things go. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But man, what could God do in your life if you put Him first? Just put Him first. Why did Abraham stay in that tent? Because God told him to. He obeyed. He just obeyed. Live by faith daily. Get your vision from God. And right here is where you get that vision. Just like Abraham got it from the Word of God, you get it from the Word of God. I'm saying, folks, that there's more to life than getting stuff. There's more to life than fame. There's more to life than money. There's more to life than friends. There's more to life than things. We live now in a tent, looking and longing for that day when we will dwell in the city that's called heaven, whose builder and maker is God. The tent and the city. Now I'm in the tent. But one day soon, hopefully soon, I'm going to be in the city.